Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Good to see all of you. Yeah, once again, God bless you to your neighbor. Yes, greet them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Joan, did you see what I was going to preach? Hey,
glory be to God.
Okay, very quickly, let us open our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 to 2. Hallelujah. It says that, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. Glory be to God. Now you know why I was blessed when she talked about the feast. You remember all you had? Did you hear that, or you have said, yeah? So to me, this is a confirmation that what I'm going to talk about is what the whole country should be talking about. I'm joking, okay? It is what we're supposed to talk about here. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm in the spirit, because we're going to talk about these feasts, okay? Their relationship with the resurrection of Jesus and the events that followed and are to follow thereafter. Amen? Now, concerning these feasts, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 that, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Okay? So here we learn that those feasts which we saw in Leviticus chapter 23, they are a shadow of things to come. Okay? Basically, they were foretelling what was going to happen. Okay? Those feasts were prophets. Okay? Anyway, they were prophetic. Okay? They were talking about what was going to come. Okay? And all those things were going to be fulfilled in Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay? So we're going to talk about each of those feasts and what they mean for us. We shall also see which feasts have been fulfilled in Jesus and those which haven't been fulfilled. Glory be to God. And we shall spend some good time on one of them, okay, for today. And next week we shall complete the rest. Amen? So, there are some slides here. Okay, so anyway, we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus and the Lord's feast. Remember, Leviticus 23 called them the Lord's feasts, isn't it? Hallelujah. And as I said, they were talking about events that were to come and were supposed to be fulfilled in Jesus. Glory be to God. All right? The first feast is the feast of Passover. The feast of Passover, okay? Children, can you read that? The feast of what? Passover, okay? The second feast that followed Passover is the feast of unleavened bread. Okay? What you see in brackets are the Hebrew words for that. Hallelujah. Okay, so what was supposed to follow immediately after Passover was the feast of unleavened bread. Okay? And the next feast was or is the feast of first fruits. Okay? And the next feast is the feast of weeks. The feast of what? The feast of weeks. Okay, now that feast is also called Pentecost. Okay? It is also called what? Pentecost, because the Feast of Weeks, they were supposed to count 7 weeks. Okay? Seventh, okay, from the Feast of First Fruits. Okay? So they were supposed to count 7 sevens plus 1 day. So it would be celebrated on the 7 times 7 plus 1 day. Okay? Abigail, what's that? 7 times 7 plus 1. 7 times 7 plus 1. Give my daughter a big hand clap. Glory be to God. 50. So it was supposed to be celebrated on the 50th day after the Feast of First Fruits. Okay, so you hear 50 and you all remember, okay? Yes, Esther, you are an architect, so you should know what a pentagon is. Okay, not some stupid what? Pentagon in Kampala. Okay? A pentagon, okay? Coming from the word five, hence Pentecost. All right? So it is also called the Feast of what? Pentecost. All right? So the next feast is the Feast of Trumpets. Okay? On that day, they're supposed to blow trumpets. In fact, it was, I think, beginning the harvest season. All right? Now, the Jews also will call it Rosh Hashanah. Okay? A little Hebrew, you know, I and Eden, we did some classes in Hebrew. Okay, now, Rosh means head. The word Rosh means what? Head. That's why if you watch Swahili news, okay, and understand that Swahili is a combination of Arabic, okay, and a Bantu language. All right? And Arabic is very similar to Hebrew. You know, those guys are cousins, isn't it? All right, now, so if you listen to Swahili news, what do they call a president? Eh? Now, it comes from this word, Rosh, okay, which means head. The president is the head of the what? Nation. Okay, then ha means they, then shana means ya. Okay, now, just to, yeah, this is for free, okay? God told Moses that their first day of the year, okay, was supposed to be Passover, isn't it? The 14th day of the month of Aviv. He said that would be the beginning of your days, the beginning of your year. All right? Now, today, in Israel or among the Jews, they consider this day the first day of their what? Of the year. Okay? Where they got it from, no one knows. Yet, in their Bible, it is very clear the 14th day of the month of Aviv, which usually falls, I think, in April or May. Okay? But anyway, you always hear this, Rosh Hashanah, okay? The beginning of the year for the Jews, aunties who celebrated. Okay? Anyway, the next feast, okay, is the Day of Atonement. Okay? Most of you, or all of you children, you should know that in 1973, I think it was, okay, as the Jews were celebrating that day, okay, the Arabs attacked them, just like what they did 7th October recently. So as we were celebrating, they knew there's no war, we are celebrating, okay, unknown to them, the Arabs were planning to attack them on that day, and they did. And it was a very, very bad situation. Glory be to God. Anyway, but there's that Day of Atonement. Okay, and the last feast, okay, is called the Feast of Tabernacles. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, as we read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, these feasts were a shadow of things to come. These feasts were what? Prophetic. Okay? By them, God was speaking about things that were going to take place, okay, in his son. Okay? Those were just feasts. They were not the road. They were a shadow, okay, of things to come. Glory be to God. Now, we are going to go through what each of those feasts means to us and what the real intention of God was. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So now we're going to talk about the feast of Passover, the first feast. Okay, the feast of Passover. Now, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lamp, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was crucified for us, or was sacrificed for us. Glory be to God. Now that means that the feast of Passover was talking about, or was God was prophesying concerning the death, the sacrifice of his son. Glory be to God. Because if you read Leviticus 23 or Numbers 12, okay, we see that on that day, the day of Passover, they sacrificed, okay, they killed a lamb, okay, and they were supposed to use that blood, you know, to whatever it on the doorpost, okay, and it was that when the angel of death, whichever house the angel of death would see that blood, he would pass over. And that household would be spared death. Glory be to God. Now here it is saying that Jesus is our Passover. Glory be to God. Jesus is our what? Passover. Okay? His blood spares us from the death that we're supposed to receive, okay, because of our sins. Glory be to God. So the feast of Passover was talking about the death that was to happen, the death of Jesus, the death of the Son of God. Glory be to God. Dying for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the following feast, okay? Thank you so much. I was going to ask them that which was the second what? Feast. Because already we told you the flow, okay? And so, it's the feast of unleavened bread. Okay? Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 31, Peter, okay, was speaking to the Jews, okay? On the day of Pentecost, actually. Okay? And he talked about, he says that he, okay, talking about David, okay, that David, foreseeing this, spoke concerning of the resurrection, that he saw, okay, the soul of Christ, Jesus, that he saw was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. By the way, do you know unleavened bread? Okay? The women know, okay? It is chapati, is it? Yeah. It is chapati. It is that simple. Glory be to God. All right? I was trained, when I got born again, or a few years after getting born again, God trained me, okay, to keep things what? To keep things simple. Okay, and I've given that advice to many people in this church, but they have refused to what? To listen to me. Okay, they have refused to listen to me, okay? Now, if you got a guy from a theological school to tell you what, and even they will talk as in big stuff, okay? Then you give them a big hand clap, but you wouldn't have understood what he was saying. But to keep things simple, unleavened bread is a chapati. Glory be to God. It's a chapati from which, with which you make a what, Eden? A Rolex. Glory be to God. Eden loves Rolexes. Okay? Children are amazing. The other day, we were driving around from school looking for a Rolex place. Then she said, okay, something that I don't think I will ever forget. She said that the beauty about Uganda is that there are so Rolex places are everywhere. Glory be to God. Now here, you guys, you're here, you think about cars, houses, like big stuff. Now, there's someone who is like, the beauty about Uganda, Rolex places are all over the place. To her now, that's a bit about what? Uganda. Glory be to God. So the opposite of Rolex is bread, isn't it? These loaves of bread, buns and whatever. Okay, now, to make a bun, you add yeast or some other stuff. Now, what that yeast does, it basically just breaks up the chapati, in quotes. You understand? Then it breaks up the what? The sugar, so it breaks up the what? That lump. Okay? Glory be to God. The dough, the lump of dough. I'm trying to keep things what? Simple. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus' body, when he died, it did not decay. It wasn't broken up. You understand? It did not. Hallelujah. And so the Feast of Unleavened Bread, remember, it follows the Feast of Passover. Okay? So the Feast of Unleavened Bread was talking about that Jesus' body, or the body of that lamb that was sacrificed, wouldn't decay. It wouldn't get corrupted. It wouldn't see corruption. Glory be to God. The reason, I guess, being that it had no sin in it. It had no yeast. It had no leaven. Hallelujah. Okay? I was telling my children, but they don't, but their mother would tell them it's a lie. But for them, they believe that they are what? That years ago, I was a chef in Kenya. Glory be to God. I was a chef in what? In Kenya. And a good chef. So that's why, I know all this what? All this stuff. Glory be to God. Then I told them the truth that thereafter, because they were paying me little money, I left and I began to work with Cafe Javas. Okay? Glory be to God. You parents, you should tell your kids Yemuvude, where you've come from. Hallelujah. So for me, I'm attempting to do that. And their mother, who should be working with me, okay, tell them that's a lie. Okay? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So anyway, the Feast of Chapati. Glory be to God. Amen? Jesus' body didn't see corruption. Hallelujah. It did not rot. Amen? Hallelujah. The next feast is a feast of first fruits. Hallelujah. It is a feast of what? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 tells us, Paul says that, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become what? The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, of those who have died. Glory be to God. Okay? So, after the feast of unleavened bread, okay, the feast of Jesus' body not being corrupted, not decaying. Okay, 3 days later, there was supposed to be the feast of first fruits. And that was talking about the resurrection. Glory be to God. And that is what we are celebrating today. Hallelujah. The feast of what? First fruits. Jesus is the first fruits of those who are fallen asleep. It means that since Jesus rose from the dead, even those who died in him, their bodies will also rise. Okay? But we know that right now their souls and spirits are in heaven, but their bodies are on earth. But one day, just as Jesus resurrected, his body resurrected, okay, even the bodies of those who died in Christ, their bodies will also do what? Will also rise. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, this brings me to something which is not a big deal, okay, but it's worth talking about. And the first time Grace Joy Mujimba heard about it, she confronted the mother that you've never man, there was a woman in that house. Daughter confronted the mother. Now, this resurrection, okay, the Bible says that it happened on the first day of the week, isn't it? And the truth of the matter is, the first day of the week is Sunday. Okay? It is what? Sunday. You all know where I'm going. Most of you, you know I'm going. Now, Jesus said, Jesus did what? Say, Jesus who died in life said that just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall his body be in the grave. 3 days and how many nights? Three nights. Now, we are very sure, according to the scriptures, somewhere in Mark and I think Matthew, that Jesus rose in the morning, Sunday. Okay? But before he died, he said he would be 3 nights and 3 days in the grave, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, of the whale, whatever animal it was. Now, if you count from Sunday morning, okay, 3 days and three nights, where do you end up at? Or where do you end? Or, but Americans say, where do you end up at? Hallelujah. Okay? Anyway, the truth of the matter is, you don't end up on Friday. You understand? That means that the truth of the matter is, Jesus wasn't killed on Friday. Okay? That lie was begun by the Roman Catholic Church for reasons which I don't know. Okay? You know they have many lies. Hallelujah. Many lies. Okay? I was talking to my Urutoro teacher in the week. He's a Catholic. And I was telling him that, you see that bishop of yours, Bishop Muhir, in Fort Porto there, he's the leader of liars. You're like, but how can you say that? Okay, well, I was saying it, I was telling just one guy who's my friend. Because the lies, the lie of purgatory. And that's why, you see, and this is serious to me. And those bishops are worthy to be called the head of liars. Because you see, now they concocted the doctrine of purgatory. And that teaching is taking many Catholics to hell. Okay? Purgatory, okay? We should, anyway, they say it's a place where when you die a sinner, you first go and chill there a bit, that you don't go to hell. You first go to what? To that place. They serve You're suffering, but not big time. So as you're there, you're suffering, okay, small, we here on earth, led by Bishop Muhira, and Wamala and Insubuga and Yavasemo Gere and Yavaba and Yavana. We shall be praying for you. Okay? And we shall even involve Mary. Okay? And the Uganda matters. We shall join to Okwesengereza Yesu and to plead to God and Jesus to forgive you, to release you from what? Hey, and at one point you will be released and you'll go to heaven. Glory be to God. Now, do you see how dangerous that thing is? Because now, just imagine you are a sinner. Eh? You are what? You have a interview of your caller in secret or in public. You're a thug. Then you hear that kind of stuff, man. You're like, glory to God. Man, now, what is there to fear? What is there to fear? Pagatore? In fact, even some of the money you steal from government, you give the bishop and the sisters and the brothers of Christian Instruction of SMAC. You give hospital. You know, so when you die, God will remember those good things. Then, coupled with these prayers that come in day and night from what? From earth. Man, eh? So do you see how dangerous that stuff is? So many Catholics are going to hell thinking that, man, all is well. Hallelujah. I think when they meet the devil in hell, they are like, man, this is not what the purgatory I was told about. You know, eh? And you see that hell, you'll be there forever. Okay? It reminds me of something I heard. Okay? That there's a guy who died and ended up in hell. So, when he got in hell, he told the devil that, man, this is not the movie I saw on earth. Yeah? Then the devil was like, man, that was a pirated movie. This is a real... That was a pirated movie. This is a real... Whatever those were yours. Okay? Now, these Catholics have a pirated what? Movie. Purgatory. Hallelujah. For me, Catholic... How they counted their 3 days and three nights to end on even a kid. Wagambia, who is a sharp kid here? You understand? We tell him to count from Monday. Because Monday, we are sure, Monday, it's there in the scriptures. He resurrected first door in the morning, first door of the week, Sunday. Now to Tandike, you know, eh? Then you. This morning, I woke up to pray. To pray for, so I prepare myself for the service, to pray in tongues, to sing Jesus songs, to come Gandhi, fire, you know, eh? Nenga, my body was what, weak. Then I got wisdom, okay? And I believe it was God. He's like, no, you don't pray. You go and do aerobics and sweat. After you sweat, you feel good and you preach well. So this morning, man, from 6, I was on the screen. We're doing aerobics. Glory be to God. I sweated and I felt good thereafter. Before I came, I was feeling very good, man. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. But anyway, that Good Friday stuff is a big lie. Okay? But it's no big deal. But it's a big lie. You understand? Anyway, so, 3 years ago, I think it was, Grace Joy go to hear about it. The mother told me that, man, she came for her. You know, child, she has had a life for years. All of it. She said, mommy, is it? And that's how she walked. She said, Is it true that Jesus didn't die on Friday? Glory be to God. But truth of the matter is, no, you can't call it. I know guys have tried doing calculations that, you know, the Jews over a day, over is how. Jonah, 3 days, three nights. Jesus said it will be the same with him. You understand? Glory be to God. But then after he died, he rose again. The day that we celebrate today. And he is the first fruit of those who died and of those who will die in him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, as you have seen, the feast of Passover was fulfilled, isn't it? The first feast. The second feast is the feast of what? Or we keep things simple. Yeah. Don't think Jesus is going to get annoyed when what? Because even bread is not also Hebrew. It's matzah, isn't it? So busawo, and I think even that chapati word, I think it's Indian, isn't it? You understand? And Jesus is not going to worry to get annoyed by calling that day what? And so that was his body that didn't see corruption. Then, which was the next day? Oh, this one. Glory be to God. He rose. So you can see that all those feasts were fulfilled. Isn't it? Now, since they are fulfilled in Jesus, it means now we are sure that all the remaining things, because remember there are seven. Now, how many have been fulfilled? Are they three or four? Three. Now, it means that we are sure that even the other four will be fulfilled. Glory be to God. In fact, the fourth one was fulfilled. Hallelujah. You remember 50, okay? Pentecost, Shavuot, okay? It is the one that came thereafter, okay? I remember they were supposed to count 50 days. 7 times 7 plus 1, okay? And so 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, okay, Pentecost was fulfilled. Okay, Acts chapter 2, okay, next slide. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says that when the day of Pentecost, when the day of Shavuot, okay, when the 50th day had come, okay, had fully come, they were all together in one accord, and then the Holy Spirit came upon them. Glory be to God. So that feast was also fulfilled in Jesus, okay? By that time, remember, he had gone to heaven, okay? And while he was in heaven, he, 40 days after he left, he poured out his spirit upon all his disciples, okay? That was the first time we know of that people began to speak in other tongues. Amen? Glory be to God. So, four feasts fulfilled. Remember, there were a shadow of things to come, isn't it? They were prophetic. Now, there are three feasts which haven't yet been fulfilled. But we know that since the other four were fulfilled, okay, for sure the other three also will be fulfilled. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. They will be what? Fulfilled. All right? And the next one that... Glory be to God. Okay. The next one that is supposed to be fulfilled is the Feast of Weeks, okay? 7 weeks plus 1 day. That's why it's called the Feast of Weeks, okay? 7 weeks, and then you celebrate it on the following day. Okay, and that is basically the Feast of what? Okay, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, isn't it? Because, praise, 7 times 7 is what? Plus 1, the following day, okay? Okay? So, that is the feast of what? No, we have finished it, isn't it? Oh, so we're on trumpet. So, she did a good job, isn't it? Give a big hand clap. Okay. So now the one coming next, which hasn't yet been fulfilled, is the Feast of Trumpets. Hallelujah. Since the other four were fulfilled, the fifth one, we are sure it has to also be fulfilled. Okay? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, that the Lord Jesus himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The trumpet is going to sound. Amen? The feast of what? Trumpets, okay? And the dead in Christ will rise first. You remember Jesus, the first fruit. Since he rose from the dead, even those who die in Christ, their bodies will also rise again one day, isn't it? So, he says that, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, okay, shall also be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with him. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, young people, we are waiting for this feast to be fulfilled. The other four were all fulfilled. It means even the fifth has to be fulfilled. Okay? And it is going to be fulfilled by the blowing of the trumpet, okay, at the coming of the Lord, okay, and the dead bodies of those who died rising, and then also we who are walking with him, we shall also be, that's what they call the rapture. Hallelujah. At the rapture, this is what is going to happen. Hallelujah. Now, this is very serious. All the other feasts, all festivals, all appointed times were fulfilled. Okay? This one, it has been now like 2,000 years. Okay? But, like people say, God's delay doesn't mean what? Denial. Okay? Just because God has delayed to fulfill something doesn't mean that he won't fulfill it. Hallelujah. Because very often, or always, you know, God, time is not a big deal to him. And we should always remember that. Time is not what? Time is not a big deal to him. In fact, time is in him. Glory be to God. He holds time. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, it says that one day with the Lord, it says that 1,000 years with God is, it's like one day. Glory be to God. Now, the feast of Pentecost was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. Okay? 2,000 years have passed, and the next feast, Zidi Ezasoka, the first ones were fulfilled chap chap. Hallelujah. Yeah? Aerobics style. Glory be to God. Yeah, now, they were, because Jesus dies like in May, yeah? Okay, like now, like, okay, let's say April. Okay? He dies, okay, let's say first April, okay? Let's just say, okay? But it wasn't first April, okay? It was mid-month, isn't it? The 14th day of the month, okay? But let's say, okay, let's say 14th April, okay? He dies. 3 days later, the second feast is what? Fulfilled. So let's say it is 17th April. Okay? Fulfilled, isn't it? Then they were told that after that they count 50 days. Okay? So that throws us like in May, like the first days of May, isn't it? Okay? April. Okay? So it is like the first days of June, isn't it? And the same year, remember you're counting days. Okay, so 50 days thereafter, the Holy Ghost is poured out. Okay. Now, the next one, you would think it was going to happen. You know, eh? In fact, it was supposed to happen, I think, in the seventh month, I think it was. Seventh month. Okay? Okay? But it didn't. But just because it didn't, doesn't mean that it won't be fulfilled. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, because God didn't say that, yeah, it was going to happen. Isn't it? And you see now, this takes me to something, which is also for free. God tells you, I'm going to give you a car. In fact, like he tells you on 1 Jan, overnight, crossover. Because crossover is where you're about to back it into. Faith is at its max. So 1 Jan, God tells you, I'm going to give you a car. Praise. So now, the human mind, because it has been said 1 Jan, the human mind sees or hears that this year I'm going to give you a car. Isn't it? Because remember, that's why most people go to what? For those like overnight. To hear what God is going to do that year. Yeah? Isn't it? Not really to praise him, to worship him, to thank him. Wow. Yeah? Most people say, together most of them bali imba. There are few who are sincere. They're really going to praise and thank God. But the majority, they have gone to hear what they're going to get that year. Okay? So now someone, a prophet of God, okay, a prophet doctor, glory be to God, comes to you, tells you, God is going to give you a car. Remember, you came to hear what God is going to do for you that year. Then the prophet says, God is going to give you a car. Naturally, you're going to add this year. But the prophet didn't say that. So God didn't say that. He didn't say this year. Do you understand? Kati, sometimes that's why we even become disillusioned with prophecies. You understand? A dream was from God. Okay? The prophecy was from God. But what we did, we added something to it. Okay? Like how some chaps added purgatory. You know, added purgatory, added Mary, Atusavile, all that stuff. Okay? Just remember, I think I was in senior 4 or senior 6, okay, before the final exam. Now, at that time, my mother was a Catholic. But I think I've told you, there was a time when I wanted to become a Catholic priest. I think that was serious. Remember, that is the only thing I knew, okay, growing up with my Catholic mom. Like things to do with God, it was only in the context of Catholicism. So now it's like the best thing like serve God would be will become a priest. And I think that what? Serious, senior. Anyway, so senior 4, senior 6, I think it was, we're going to do exams, Cantab. Then that time I think I went back home. Either for dimes or something like that. And I think it was, I don't want to say this when some people are here. But you have to tell kids where you've come from, Kenya, Ukafe Java. So I think I need a dime. And someone who can relate to this. Because I'm sure you also did that stuff. And many of you. Apart from the battle kids, for them they didn't. And so you need money. You need money. Okuwa o Easter to katwenyase. You know, you need dime at school. So now you have to craft, man, something to tell your your parents to give you the dime. So I remember, I think it was senior three or senior four. So I go back home, I tell my mom, you remember that era of pamphlets? Yeah? Who remembers that era? The era of pamphlets. Yeah? Well, pamphlets were like booklets. We textbook, yeah, chemistry, and that. There's a Ugandan teacher who did a pamphlet and made things simple. Yeah? Pamphlets. Ah, yeah. So now, that was basically the common lie of the day. You tell your parents that now this subject again. But if I can just get a pamphlet, Yakakin, any of the other guys of economics, was it called Ukakin? Eh? Then there was also Utayewa. Eh? Ah, who I said yes? Okay. Utayewa, there was a pamphlet, yeah, Utayewa. Eh? Hey. And so you tell your parents that, man, for me, just give me the what? Just give me money. When I get that pamphlet, just says, expect an 80. And back in the day, man, an 80 was 100%. All right? Yeah, but you are like, yeah, there's no. Now, anyway, I told my mom about a biology pamphlet. But I was like, nakagula. For me, I just need the dime. Bambi, poor lady, she gave me money. My wife is looking at me like, man, this is a guy I married, you know. That's why sometimes I don't want to say my things, my history, because they create for me problems at home. And remember, I wasn't born again. Yeah. Hallelujah. But even if I was born again, God forgave me, I repent, you know. Anyway, so... yeah, anyway, gave me the diamond. Because I was like, why buy a pamphlet? Yet I know in my stream, in my class, someone has that pamphlet. You understand? You just borrow Mwanga because we borrow no Jiwandi Kayona. Remember that time? You read the whole, what? Transcribe the whole thing. So why buy it? Glory be to God. And as you're transcribing it, things are even what? Entering in the head. Hallelujah. So anyway, she gave me $7,000, and with $7,000 back in the day, was a lot of money, man. Anyway, but that's not the point. Yeah, when we were going to do exam, she told me, now go ask your teachers who is a saint responsible for what? Academic excellence. Because the Catholic Church, there's a saint for everything. There's a saint for farmers. I'm telling you. You know these things. These days I hear them on radio, Utoro radio. There's a saint for farmers. If you want to succeed, get to know the saint for farming. There's a saint for academic excellence. There's a saint for marriages. I don't know if there's a saint for football. Okay? Manchester United would make use of him. And Bambi, which he told me that what? Go ask your teachers who is a saint for academic excellence. Then you go and you tell that saint to pray for you. Okay? Some chap would die, you even don't know when they went to heaven. Okay? It is the Catholics who decide that catch or no, they are far. Now, then the process of making Nyerere a saint. You know that. And Museveni is involved. Museveni is involved, man. Museveni is involved in making a guy a saint. Are you hearing that? That's why this Catholic Church thing is just politics. Nyelele, nyelele. Balimu process. Now, I think the last thing they're doing, they want to hear anyone who has received a miracle through Nyelele. Someone who prayed through what? Nyelele. And now that is an investigation that is what? Ongoing. And the moment they find him, you hear St. Julius, which docket? Maybe he will become the saint of politicians. That is the stupidity that is what? Barimu right now, resurrection day, Barimu. Glory be. Anyway, my mother told me to what? Go find out the saint for academic. Then you ask him to pray for you so that you can excel. Okay? And I think that was, I think, the same time when she gave me my dime for the what? Pamphlet. Girl, man, I went back to school, man. That time was just too good, man. I was loaded. Sam, I must have given you some. I must have bought you some fried cassava. Because, I mean, those were the things. The ones baked, you know, fried cassava, pancakes, you know. Hallelujah. Yeah, but anyway, this day is coming. Okay? This day is what? Coming. The dead in Christ will rise. Basically, the rapture is coming. Those who are alive, walking in the Lord, will also rise. And they will always be with the Lord thereafter. Isn't it? Now, this is what I want to emphasize. Okay? Okay? This rapture, okay, people being caught up with the Lord is not a sure deal for all Christians. It is not a sure deal for all what? For all Christians. Okay? Christians who are sinners, Christians who are into the habit of sinning, won't be raptured. Okay? On the contrary, I'll tell you this, they are going to hell, and they're not going to purgatory. They're going to hell. All right? They're going where? To hell. They won't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Titus chapter 2, verse 11, okay? Verse 11 talks about the grace of God that brings salvation that has appeared to us, isn't it? Chapter 12 says that grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope, or looking forward to the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, looking forward to the day of trumpets, isn't it? Because that's when Jesus will appear. The so-called second coming of the Lord. All right? Now, here Titus tells us how we should wait for that day. Isn't it? He tells us that we should deny ungodliness, worldly lust. He says that we should live soberly, we should live righteously, and we should be godly. Isn't it? As we look forward to the blessed hope. And what does the blessed hope mean? It means the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right? Now, there are people who say that, no, he died for us and we are going, we shall live with him forever and ever, irrespective of how we live. But that's not true. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 9, Paul writing to Christians who were sinning. Okay? These Corinthians, man, they were not what? Simple people concerning evil. So Paul asked them a question. He says that, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay? Because they were practicing unrighteousness. He said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Then he told them that, do not be deceived. Hallelujah. Don't be deceived by anyone. Okay? Basically implying that the unrighteous, okay, including you, the Corinthians, if you continue with unrighteousness, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he said, do not be deceived. He says, fornicators, okay, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, okay, sodomites, thieves, those who are covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, and the list goes on and on, of course, okay? He says that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Meaning that at the Feast of Trumpets, when the Lord appears and the trumpet will sound, okay, they are not among those who will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Okay? If they died, or if that Christian had already died by the time Jesus returns, okay, I'll tell you quickly, their bodies will remain in the ground for 1,000 years. But their spirits and souls will be in hell. They'll be in hell. Then after 1,000 years, okay, they will also be resurrected for the final judgment. Hallelujah. Okay? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. There's something I want to say, but there's some people who are here. Okay? And now it makes me like uncomfortable. Okay? Yeah. But I'll pray to God on a certain Sunday for God to give those people a royal break. Yeah? You've heard of that kind of phrase? Give me a royal break. Do they still say it? A royal? Eh? Some. You remember that coward? Back in the day. Oh, you don't. Give me a royal break. Yeah? Anyway. The point I'm trying to make is that the unrighteous Christian, Christians who are playing around with fornication, okay? Christians who are playing around, the Christians who go to shrines, those, okay? You know, anyway, Baluwale, Mbandwa, I'll never, you can be amazed at what Christians are involved in. I'll never forget, years ago, we were in Zoe Fellowship. That time, Elvis was still on track. All right? And then, so, as he preaches, he talks about someone in the congregation, okay, who had, I think in Uganda it's called Yirizi or something like that. Eh? Some string around with the waist. Which is for supernatural purposes. All right? Anyway, so when we left, the fellowship pastor is driving me back home. He tells me that it is so and so that I saw with the eyes of the Spirit who had that thing. Eh? And that's what? That individual man, if you didn't know that the way she was behaving was really Ukano, though she seemed to be like loving God, what, but the chick had what? So it means that she was going like on, they say, they go on Wednesday. Anyway, whichever day they go. But all days they go, but there's a main day when they go to do their stuff. So a chick now on Tuesday, which is in a Christian fellowship, on Sunday, which is at church, on another day, which is in those things. And many Christians are there doing what? Okay? There's someone who says that's why you find many people on days like Christmas, Easter, they go to their what? Villages. Yeah? No, not all of them, okay? But some of them, yes, they go to media, but also they go to do their things. Okay? Haha, back to the Catholic Church. You've had Museveni, the president, Rice Roche. There's a video that always goes around. And he said that, for him, he believes that I think 90% of Catholics, like he gave a percentage, and I think it was 90 90%. He said that 90% of Catholics, he believes they're involved in witchcraft. Why did he say that? He says that during the Bush War. Okay? Some of us were here during the Bush War. During the Bush War, Obote, the president he was fighting against, okay, was beating them. Basically, Museveni and group were losing the war. They were being hammered. His soldiers were being killed. Okay? So, he says that. Now, where they were at that point, there was a Catholic church. And the Catholic church had a priest. And that priest, I think, was European. Basically, a white. So now, because of the intensity of the war, the white Catholic priest did what? Fled. Took off. Left some other Ugandan, an elder in the Catholic church, in charge. He said, now you'll be in charge in the meantime. Okay? So that was the time when Museveni is losing the war. Then now that Catholic church elder, okay, one time got an opportunity to meet Museveni. Okay? The leader of the rebels. Then he told him, you know what? Obote is killing us. Because remember, most Baganda were supporting Museveni, okay? So he said, now Museveni is what? Rather, Obote is killing us, he's winning the war. Do you know why? He told him, it's because Obote killed a woman and buried her upside down. Basically, that it was a witchcraft thing, okay, to help him win against the rebels. So he said, Obote killed a woman and buried her upside what? Down. So he told him now. So the Catholic chap, Elder Muke, told Museveni that now, we also need to do our things. We also have to go and do what? Our witchcraft. So that we can counter what Obote did. Museveni would told the guy, but you are a Catholic. The guy said, yes, I'm a Catholic. But also, these things are also here. People are dying, and there's medicine also here. We can also do these things, and it works. So Museveni said that from that time. Remember, this is elder Catholic, Elder Muhira. You know, telling Museveni that, man, yes, I'm a Catholic, but we have to be wise. Okay? And from that, Museveni said 90% of what? And in my opinion, I think it's true. In my opinion, just the things they do at their kwandulas, weddings, even to be a bakola, whatever, there are witchcraft. You understand? Eh? What they do with twins, what they, it is just witchcraft. Hallelujah. But anyway, don't be what? Deceived. The unrighteous will not inherit. The unrighteous will not be, basically, they won't see, they won't experience the Feast of Trumpets as they should. You understand? Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, as I end. Okay? Paul wrote to the Ephesians, kind of the same thing, but now he made a point here. Okay? He says that fornication and all uncleanness, all covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, okay, as in bad jokes, obscene jokes. Musikawa, you go for what? A comedy night. You're listening to vulgar stuff. And if someone came and asked, how many of you here are born again? You find people, you know, but they are there, you know. Eh? But I think I've heard, but I don't know if it's true, that Pablo Bambi, for him, I don't know that day go that far. Like, he doesn't get into these stupid things. Okay? He just tells people how he played his mother's dime, you know. Anyway, yeah, you see? Stupid joke, and then you get them on, what's it called? With TikTok, and you hear vulgar stuff. You see, cross jesting, you know, eh? He says that these things are not fitting for the saints. He says, for this you know, Paul expects you to know. Okay? Paul expects us to know that for this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Glory be to God. Then he says, let no one deceive you. Okay? However famous a preacher is, Aliku Channel Zone now, 341, 343, just Channel Zone now, basically, he said, don't let anyone deceive you. For because of these things, so he adds a thing which he didn't add in what? He said that because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Then he says, don't be partakers with them. Partakers of what? The wrath of God. You understand? So Christians who are not walking in righteousness are going to experience the wrath of God. Okay? And in that sense, they're not going to experience the Feast of Trumpets. By the way, I emphasize the point that it is the one we're waiting for. The other ones were all fulfilled. And since they're all fulfilled, it means that this next one that we've been waiting for thousands of years has also to be fulfilled. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay? But for you who are walking in righteousness, okay, the Lord will come. You understand? At the Feast of Trumpets, and you'll be caught up with him. Okay? And you'll live with him thereafter forever and ever. Glory be to God. So as we celebrate the Feast of First Fruits, okay, Resurrection Sunday, okay, let us also remember that there's more to come. And we should be ready for that more, for that day, when the Lord will return to take us home. Glory be to God. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.